Welcome to the Brian Foltis Behavioral Finance Podcast, where we unravel the mysteries of behavioral finance and unlock the secrets to making smarter, more informed decisions with your money. Now, here's your host, Dr. Brian Foltis.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to another installment of the Brian Foltis Behavioral Finance Podcast. You know me, it's Brian Foltis again. I'm riding solo today, no Mandy. I hope you guys enjoyed our three episodes on talking about marriage and working things out. If you have any feedback, comments, I would love to hear from you. And today, though, we are going to continue our conversation on youth sports in the United States. We're calling this Youth Sports Meets Behavioral Finance. So, as I mentioned in the previous podcast, this is a pain point for me. So yes, this will probably sound soapboxy because this is coming from a point of real pain point problem areas, and I'm working to resolve this on myself. But I thought as I was unpacking how I was feeling, I did some research and realized that there are behavioral components that are adding to the craziness of youth sports. Last week, when we talked about this, we laid out the absolute craziness. So this was structured more or less in my mind as the motivation as to why we need to talk about this. And we went into the history, how we got here, how it switched in 2008 from community-based. And that's what typically we would see in other countries. Community-based, low to no cost sports for individuals. But those got cut during the Great Recession in the United States around 2008. And the budgets haven't fully come back. And now we've seen that shift from 80% in community-based sports to now over 80% in now private pay-to-play companies who are generally for profit. So they're really, I see this in my own world, they're pushing the limits, how much we can pay. So people who have money are getting overextended with these particular sports, and people who don't have as much are really feeling the financial burden or are not allowing their children to play in these sports because they're priced out of this. So today we're going to talk about where we're at right now. And then I want to show you some of how these youth sports with good intentions have really bad outcomes and consequences for families and parents, all. So from the parents down to the kids, it trickles into some negative consequences. So I'm going to talk about that. We're going to leave off with what we can do, hopefully in the future, to mitigate some of this. That's what I said. I can't eliminate this out of my life. I have very active kids, very social kids. I want to think that I'm very blessed to have healthy kids who are social and active. That's why I say I want to mitigate this so it doesn't get crazy, so I don't have to recap another potentially 31 hours of my life per week dealing with and facilitating these youth sports. So here we go. We're talking about how at the very back end of the last episode, how it was putting financial strain on parents. And so the strain doesn't stop just financially. I see parents all the time. And you think about how much time is spent driving, sitting at games, and then figuring out and worrying how you were going to pay for this. And the manifestation of all this stress is found either in parking lots or on the sidelines of these games. So in the parking lots, you see people who zone out. They use that time and they just zombie. You can see the face. You know when somebody's looking at reels and other bullshit. You just know, you can see their face. They look like a zombie. And if you think I don't do it, I do this as well. And I'm sure I look the same way. but they're just trying to detach. I noticed that with myself. I got 30, 45 minutes to myself. I go to detach either at the gym or at the winery. They don't know me at their gym by name. They know me at the winery by name, so you can see what decisions I typically make over time. I'm not going to lie to you. So, but then what ends up happening is you have these overextended parents, overly stressed, broke, don't know how to pay for it. The manifestations on the sideline, these sporting events, are flat out ugly. If you are from out of the country and plan on traveling to the United States and are interested in observing people's behaviors, I urge you to add this onto the list. Go to one of these basketball or large soccer facilities. Spend a couple of hours observing parents' behavior, how they talk to their children out on the court or the field, and how they speak to officials during the game. It is so sad and disturbing, but you have to witness this firsthand. How people act towards and talk to their own children, how they talk to officials. And you would think that the higher level the game is, maybe the more intense the parents are. I can see that, but I don't see that playing out. It doesn't matter how poorly the kids' skill level are at a particular sport. The parents, it's almost an inverse relationship, although we have on the high level soccer team some first, second team, All-American, really a-hole dads. Anyway, it's at every single level. And it's just, so I start wondering, why are people behaving like this? What drives somebody to lace up a youth official, somebody who might be even 14 years old? What would drive you to make comments like this to your own child, to a 14-year-old official, to a grown-ass official who's out here on a Saturday morning? And I realized, man, these people must be really, really stressed and they don't know how to deal with it or what to do. And it just, that's what's going in. That's what's coming out. So I'm a little bit more, not sympathetic, but understanding as to why they are, because I had to deal with those similar emotions myself of, man, feel like I'm really trapped. I've buckled up for this almost full-time hour job in the evening time. I'm not getting home until 10 o'clock every night, wake up and do the same thing over and over again. This sounds like hamster wheel effect, that I'm just running this hamster wheel. Get me off of this hamster wheel. And you start feeling trapped. You start going down a bad place. And again, you see anger simmering all over the place. It's not just dads. It's everybody, both sides. So, once again, I was really struggling with this, and I just wrote out some notes around this, which started basically my own therapy on myself. And I felt like, man, I've really fallen victim to the game that's being played here in the United States. And that's run this hamster wheel and extend yourself and use it as almost a badge of honor. Hey, my kids are both in two sports. Oh, wow, you must be really busy. Yeah. But then the reality is, this really sucks and nobody's happy. And this is the old accepted excuse, which goes back now to a previous episode where we talked about social norms. These are generally accepted unwritten rules of society. And what we've found ourselves now here in 2024 is these accepted unwritten rules are, you need to be doing this. Your kids are active. You have to be in this. And it makes sense that everyone else is doing this. We're all running the same hamster wheels, ha, ha, ha. And we're all spread way too thin. And we don't have any time alone or time as a family. There's no balance. Oh, this is the way it is. And that's where I go, you teach this. You need to identify this. You need to change this. So I realized I had accepted this old excuse implied with other parents that this is what everyone else is doing and we just need to go along with it, which sounds exactly like social norms. So, but we've also said that when we identify a social norm as unhealthy or unbeneficial and out of balance, we need to start moving away from this. And so I see other parents struggling with this, and I don't feel like we know what to do or how to get out of it. And once again, we fall into the old excuses that we have active kids. This is what their friends are doing. This is what everyone else is doing. We have to give them exercise. Oh, they really like what they're doing. And I acknowledge those. However, I also understand there are other alternatives that don't impinge on my wallet and they don't infringe on my time. And I've often joked with my kids, and I really need to live by this. If I'm spending 20 hours in the car watching your stuff, you should be spending 20 hours at least out and about watching my stuff. Aren't we all equal? There's a disparity here. And so I see this with parents. They're putting all this into their kids, but then they're neglecting their own physical health because they're just sitting there watching their kids and telling them to run faster, play harder. And I wish that there was more balance. And I feel like, man, if nothing else, we should go exercise and not drink wine more or have some sort of outlet while our kids are playing. But most of the time, I just see people idling away on their phones. We've also mentioned some other overextended ramifications where you have so many missed dinners and family time. When every night you have at least a couple of practices, you miss out on family dinners. And I really value those. All four of us sitting here, sitting down at a table, and it doesn't have to be a, you know, 4-star, 5-star cuisine, Michelin restaurant kind of dinner. But having that time to sit down and talk to each other is hugely valuable. And when you have these sports 7 days a week, those easily fall through the cracks. If you don't believe me, check out the drive-thrus at McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, and Culver's, and you'll find many youth sports players and their families before or after practice grabbing a quick meal and bite to eat. And I'm there with them some of the times. And I find this interesting because we've also said we're trying to push physical health. This was the premise that we started with. So basically, we're going to go work out and do a practice for an hour, and then we are going to eat garbage and put that in our bodies in the evening because we don't have the energy or time to make something nutritious and decent. So again, we're starting to be inconsistent with ourselves here. And it's one step forward, presumably two steps back with our meals. And once again, I'm not judging. I'm just saying I fall into the same trap and I realize that this doesn't make sense. You also have, I found spending time with other zombie parents, which I kind of refer to them as. I hope you don't think I'm a terrible person. I'm just sharing my mind. And sometimes I realize that's not good. The reason I say that is because when I sit at some of these things, I notice that everyone else is just accepting this as normal and it's just the way it is. They're not happy about it, but they just kind of are going through life without giving life much thought. And it makes me feel isolated sometimes. And I am always happy to find people who are thinking different and living a different life because that makes me feel a little more in place. So perhaps this is a conversation for my counselor to continue to have with me, but I'm sharing my thoughts around this, that they're just, I wish there were more interesting people around me. And if you find myself gravitating towards you and engaging you in conversation, it's because you've meet the cut and you have, but I overhear other parents' conversations and they'll sit and they'll gab for 2 hours and they won't talk about a single thing of any substance. And in my mind, I go, I'm just going to save my mental capacity. I've got so many things going on. I just can't engage in this. I will smile. I'll say, hi, how you doing? And then I think we're good from there. It can be a little bit isolating at these things from other parents, especially if you have to go out of town. And now it's just a weekend bonanza of a travel sport with your forced social gatherings and your family, whatever, parent functions or team functions or whatever. It's now bleeding into your whole weekend. Anyway, have we mentioned expenses? We have. But now guess what, friends? This gets even more. We're starting to see these companies push a little bit further into the pockets of individuals. So what I started noticing is at these basketball games, paying for admission to get into these games, I will pay anywhere from $6 to $10 per person per game to watch my 11-year-old play a mediocre game of basketball with other mediocre players. My son's 8th-grade son's flag football game had now started to charge $7 on Wednesday evening to watch my 8th-grader muck around with all of his friends for an hour. I'm always salty about it, and I'm just going, where does this end? How much are they going to push people? Because what I'll do is I'll send my younger one in earlier, so at least he'll go through the cracks as a player. And then myself, I have the moral dilemma. Do I pretend to be a coach to go in for free and pretend to sign my name on the coach's sheet, or do I just suck it up and pay the $7, $10? But I realize there are families coming in before and after me who have couples and also a couple of kids. And I'm going, just to come in to watch this game, they're going to pay $30. And so you see how much this is getting out of control. If I'm parking at a baseball game or parking for a soccer game, you're going to see a lot of the same things. And they're constantly going to be pushing for that limit, how much they can charge you for other things. So now we've gotten way beyond, hey, you need extra money for jerseys, to we're going to pay, you have to pay to come watch your kid play their mediocre games. They schedule games about 24 to 48 hours beforehand. And so this, again, is just, they've got the knife in and now they're just twisting it, basically implying that we're doing nothing else with our lives and that we're going to wait for them and they're going to dictate what our weekend is going to look like, how far we need to travel, when we're going to travel, and where we need to go with that. And so all these different things that are playing out, I've noticed kids from the neighborhood knocking on the door all the time. Oh, can the younger one come play? No, he can't. He's got soccer practice tonight. No, he can't. He's got basketball and soccer practice tonight. And they're like, does he have any days off today, this week? And that's, once again, the key. Oh, man. We want our kids to be active, but they can do that in our front yards, in our neighborhoods, in our fields that are right next door. All of these things can still be done once we take the scales off of our eyes. So now we've talked about overconfidence and all of the negative ramifications. There's more, though. This pay-to-play system uses a very clever framing to make the system or the league seem like it's higher than it really is. Now, follow me here. If your kid is actually quite the best of the group, whatever the group it is, they're going to be framed in a league that's called elite. So you're in the elite one, which means these are the elite players, even though there's a lot of them in each club. And there are two elite clubs. And then after that, there's another underneath that is usually called travel. So there's elite for the good players, travel underneath that. And these are the ones where they're really pushing, because these kids very likely aren't even going to play high school, yet they are really bilking people for a considerable amount of money to give them a large number of games. And so the way that it's proposed is experience. We're going to give them game experience, and that's going to get them on a team. And what it does, though, without any development, is it just shows you the same episode of same mistakes over and over again. But it's a very clever way from a framing standpoint to really make people believe, look, if we could just travel, that's going to give them up to this next level. So I'm willing to pay a lot of extra money to give them a lot of extra games to give them that experience. Underneath that, you have Rec Plus, Recreational Plus, which is kind of like I'm a beginner, but I have some experience and I really want to make it up to the travel area. And there's actually a little bit of balance there. And then you have the lowest level, which is called recreational. And that's what everybody played before 2008. We're all in a rec team. We're all on a little league team. There were good players. There were bad players. But now recreation, this low to no pay to play, now has this really bad connotation. It's like, oh, you're in a rec league. You must really either this is your first year playing or you're just flat out bad. And at least there's balance, though, because recreational has one day of practice, one game on the weekend. And this is the balance that most other countries see with their sports. So once again, just to see like the elite level basketball season for the younger one, he was playing rec sports and was playing very well. So we moved him up, say, hey, let's play in the travel league. Maybe you have a chance. So we're living this out, playing the travel league. He played 44 games in between end of November to the end of February. 44 games, that's more than college players play. That's more than half of an NBA season in a four-month period. Wait, I take that back. I'm even saying if we're doing December, January, February, it's all condensed into 3 months. All that to say is it's obscene how much they played. They practiced maybe a handful of times during that time. If I'm going to be generous, I might add another hand, but certainly not all 10 fingers into how many times they actually practiced, which meant from game one to game 44, there was no improvement from any of the players. If there was, it was very meager and not enough to justify 44 games and traveling all over kingdom come for these games. And there's the rub. And this is where we go, okay, parents, did we get value for our money and our time with what just happened? And I think most of the parents would answer a resounding no. I don't know if they'll make a different decision after that information, though. So where do we go now? Well, first of all, this whole soapbox was presumably to get this off my chest and to share with you some of my conflicts with this. But then also, I wanted to raise awareness on the absurdity on all of this that is going on and to just point out, hey, look, these companies they're very, very smart. They know you're overconfident in your children's abilities. They know you have money and are willing to do this. And we've built these social norms around this. And now we're going to frame it in the most clever way to make you reach for that next level and pay that extra money. Oh, because guess what? If your kid is struggling in a certain area, don't make them go in their backyard or their driveway to figure this out. We've got private instructors and private coaches to now assist you. It's going to cost about $50 to $70 an hour. But we've got that for you. So if you need to kick the ball a different way or you need to shoot the ball a different way, we've got this. And this is the only way your child is going to go to the next level. And we've got that going on too. So again, all of this is absurd. And we quantified how much time and money are being spent. And what I'm trying to do now as we move forward is we have this awareness. This is absurd. This is crazy. Now, what do we do with it? And so I'm starting this with my own family to try to get the kids to throttle back and select at least just one sport per season. So if you want to do soccer year round, if you want to do basketball, we're going to have to figure out, we're going to drop soccer, or do you want to do this at a recreational level? And we'll throttle back our frequency of soccer during that time. The older one is going to go into high school. So some of these sports naturally drop off. But then also I realized there'll be other things. So we're just holding on tight until the car comes in about a year and a half or so from now. And also, so we're trying to mitigate this down to one, not two, because two, I've also realized that's when things get way out of balance. I would also like to see kids out in the neighborhood playing pickup games and practicing on their own, which is something that is sadly very unheard of. And I don't see this very frequently. And we have all these complexes that are deserted most of the time. And the only time people are there is when we're all jammed together and fighting. There's no in between. We're either all snarled in a parking lot or there is literally nobody at these complexes. I'd like to see that work itself out a little bit better. Also, would like to see parents being more active with their kids and not silent or not so silent spectators who are zombies on their phone sitting in a parking lot, or on the opposite side, berating their kids and berating officials in front of everybody. I would like to see us being more active. And that's what I try to do with my own physical health. Be active with the kids, playing sports with them, being in the mix. I feel very fortunate, and I hope we continue to all the, in the years moving forward. I want to continue to torch my kids in basketball. I want to continue to be the best player in wiffle ball when we're out playing wiffle ball. When I'm playing all-time quarterback, able to throw it wherever I want on the football field to the kids when they're playing one-on-one against each other. I want to continue to do that. I also want to see other parents, because I feel like there's an opportunity that's being lost with that. And it just takes parents to be more active around this. And also like to see parents use their money better, spend their money better. Instead of all in on Jimmy's sports, what if we didn't do that and went on family vacation instead, or other family activities that involve more people? Again, it kind of comes back to this family balance. Sometimes we do have to make choices, and they're not always popular. They're not always easy. And so the good news is I've started to have a couple of conversations with parents who have been on the fence, who have started to think about this. And once we kind of get some support from each other, we realize, no, that's okay. We don't have to overextend ourselves when our child most likely it very likely won't play even in high school. So we're just going to do recreation, have fun, let the kids go play. But now it doesn't infringe in my life or my pocketbook as much. All right, so this is where I stop. I know some of you might be going, oh, thank goodness. But I wanted to lay all this out and talk about these social norms and how people fall victim to it. This is myself included. Hopefully we've detected a bubble that there's some point where we fight back as parents and say, this is too much, and we throttle back. And I hope it bursts soon. I'm not sure if it will. I think there's some runway to still go, and it depends on a number of economic factors. But if we stay the way it is right now, I think these private companies can continue to push for more money, and we're seeing it with admissions. They'll find other tricky ways to get more money until we finally say enough is enough. But for me, it's the time allocation. I really need to be more intentional about time and not let it infringe on 31 hours of my life per week. So hopefully we can band together. Friends, if you are not a parent yet, I hope this plants a seed. It is not for nothing listening to this particular podcast, because I thought, when my time came before I was a parent, I am not going to fall victim to this, because I was already detecting it. And now it's finally here, and I go, I've fallen into the trap. Dang it. What do I have to do now to move forward? So again, this will be something that we'll address in the future, myself and my kids, my ex-wife, who's my boy's mom, who's also an excellent co-parent. And so we'll get on the same page with that in some sort of moderation or moderate way. And so again, and hopefully if you save your money, you can just pay for your kids' college anyway, no? And sometimes people need to do that. If I didn't go into that and run the numbers on it, but if you're spending $5,000 to $10,000 a year on your kids' sports, if you were to reallocate that towards college, then they've got their college scholarship anyway. So you've increased the probability from 2% to 100% in doing that. That's what I'll leave you with. Let's reallocate and rethink our decisions. Hopefully make some better ones. That's what we're here for, I hope. That's why I hope that you're listening to these podcasts and you're listening to me rant and rave on this particular one. So thank you for sharing your time with me. If you have any comments, I would love to hear from you. Please reach out to me. You can find me on Instagram. I'm building up on Facebook, if you can believe it or not. YouTube, you can find me, brianfoltis.com. If you need me to help with any of your organizational issues or seminars, keynote speeches, or any other materials, I am here to help you. I'm moving into summer mode, which means more time to allocate towards behavioral finance, business related things. So would love to hear from you. Hope you have a great day. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Brian Foltis Behavioral Finance Podcast. We hope you found our exploration into the fascinating world of human behavior and finance both enlightening and thought-provoking. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes. And until next time, stay curious and financially savvy.